What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you on this Father's Day. I want to wish everybody a happy Father's Day. And we're going to talk about the Mississippi Valley State Delta Devils today. Mississippi Valley had a season that was shortened by the COVID outbreak. They only actually played three games out of their scheduled six games. So not a lot to take from what the Delta Devils were able to put on the field this year. Two of their three games were blowouts. One game was a close game that they had a chance to at least play into overtime, but they let it get away at the end. They did finish with a victory because they picked up a forfeit victory against Alcorn due to Alcorn opting out. They opened up their season with a 43-7 loss to Jackson State. Then, as I said before, they picked up that 2-0 forfeit against Alcorn. They lost to Pine Bluff 24-17, and then they lost to Alabama State 42-17. Late, where they were in the third quarter, and they chose to go for it at one point and on fourth down, and it really bit them in the butt in the second half. From that point on, Alabama State will go on to put the game out of reach and get the W. They went for it inside their own 30-yard line, and they just could not get anything done. So that was a situation where I think the coaching staff kind of felt like they needed to make a play on something because they needed momentum, and this is a team that hasn't had much success, and to be going toe-to-toe with somebody, you need to pick up a successful play and make plays when you can make them. But Valley was unable to get it done, and Alabama State will go on to score for more touchdowns and put that game out of reach. I do think, even though the team hasn't been doing well on the field, I think Coach Dancy is doing a good job of building this team. I mean, obviously, Valley is a program that's always in a constant state of rebuild. Anytime they do kind of get something going, they don't have the resources or the personnel to consistently win. So they'll have those bursts of games where they may look competitive or they may even win, but they can't consistently get W's and consistently build their program. So it's going to be interesting to see how long Coach Dancy is able to maintain a sense of stability at Valley. If he can get this program to a sense of stability and they win 4 to 5 games a year, that's going to go a long way in shaping this program to be better than what they are. Because at this point, Valley is just Valley, as people like to say. They don't really strike much fear in anybody at the time, because they just don't have the resources. But defensively, Valley's been a good team for the last couple years, and that did not change this season. Looking at the statistics, Valley was ninth in scoring offense on the year. They had 5 touchdowns, 2 field goals. They made all 5 of the extra points, giving them 41 total points. That's an average of 13.7 points per game. They were eighth in the league in scoring defense with 15 touchdowns, allowed 2 field goals, 11 extra points made. The opponents did go for 2 once and got it. There's 109 total points, good for 36.3 points per game allowed on defense. Total offense, Valley was last, 459 rushing yards, 374 passing yards on 200 plays. That's 833 yards, 4.2 yards per play, 5 touchdowns, 277 total yards per game average. Total defense, 391 yards rushing, 865 yards passing on 218 plays, 1,256 yards allowed, 5.8 yards per play, 13 touchdowns, 418.7 yards per game for their defense. Rushing offense, Valley was actually fourth in the league. They had 112 attempts, 459 yards, 4.1 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns, 153 yards per game. And that's probably one of the better efforts that Valley's had on the ground in about 4 or 5 years. If you remember back to 2017, 2018, I believe Valley was averaging negative yards rushing per game. So to go from that to 153 in a short season is a good improvement. They were also third in the league in rushing defense. 102 carries, 391 yards. They allowed 3.8 yards per carry. 5 touchdowns on the ground, 130.3 yards per game allowed rushing. That 3.8 yards per carry was the fourth lowest per carry average for defense. So they definitely did a good job with their run defense. Passing offense, Valley was last. They were 49 of 88. One touchdown, two interceptions, 55.7% completion. 374 yards, 4.3 yards per pass. Average yard per game, 124.7. Passing defense, Valley was last. 65 of 116, 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 56% completion rate. 865 yards, 7.5 yards per pass, 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 288.3 yards per game. Passing efficiency offense, Valley was last with a rating of 90.6. Passing efficiency defense, Valley was 8th, 136.3 rating. Kickoff returns, Valley was last with 14 yards per return. They had 14 returns for 196 yards, no touchdowns. Punt returns, Valley was 6th. They had 9 returns for 68 yards, no touchdowns, 7.6 yards per return. Kicking, Valley was third in kickoffs. They had 10 kickoffs for 551 yards. That's 55.1 yards per kickoff. They allowed 140 yards on returns. They did have one touchback, and they gave them a net average of 38.6 yards per kickoff. Field goals, Valley was 8th. They were 2 of 5 on the season for 40%. Extra points, Valley was 6th. They were 5 of 5 for 100%. Punting, Valley was last. They had 14 punts for 555 yards, 39.6 yards per punt. They allowed 216 yards on return. That's an average of 15.4 yards per return, which is the worst in the league by a far margin. That's 10 yards more than the team who was closest to them. They did not have any punts that were touchbacks or fair caught. They had a net punt average of 24.2 yards per punt net. So that's really not good. You're really losing a lot of field position when they punt, because they didn't cover punts well at all. Sacks allowed, Valley was 7th. They allowed 13 sacks for 71 yards lost. They were 7th in the league in sacks for their defense, with 6 for 23 yards lost. Interceptions, they were 8th. 3 interceptions for 55 yards, an average of 18.3 yards per return. So they did get good return yardage on their interception return. They actually were 2nd in the league in yardage, in average return yardage. And they were 3rd in the league in total yardage on return. So they did do a good job of trying to make plays when they got an interception, but they just could not cash it in with their offense. First downs, Valley was last in the league. They had 23 rushing first downs, 16 passing first downs, 6 first downs by penalty, giving them 45 total first downs, 15 first downs per game. That was, that 45 first downs was the seventh, would put them in 8th place in the league. The opponents had 17 first downs, rushing, 38 passing, 4 by penalty, good for 59 first downs, 19.7. First downs per game. Valley was last in the league in third down conversions, 12 of 44 for 27%. Obviously, that's not going to get it done at all. If you can't convert any third downs, then you put your defense back on the field immediately. The defense was actually not bad on third downs. They were 5th in the league. They were 15 of 42 for 35.7%. So they did a decent job of getting stops, but they could not convert on third downs. Fourth down conversion, Valley was seventh, they were 4-10 for 40%. The opponents were 1-7 for Valley for 14%, which is first in the league. So they did a good job of getting stops on fourth down. They just could not get any conversions and any real consistency on offense, and that really hurt them. When you're a team like Valley, you cannot shoot yourself in the foot. You don't have a lot of firepower. And your defense, no matter how good your defensive line is with guys like Jerry Garner, you just can't keep putting those guys on the field. First half, they're going to make plays, but once they start to wear down and the offense doesn't move the ball consistently, then the floodgates are going to open. Valley was second in the league in penalties. They had 20 penalties for 152 yards, an average of 50.7 yards per game in penalties. They were second in the league in opponent penalties with 25 for 234 yards. Opponents averaged 78 yards per penalty per game in penalties. Valley was third in the league in time of possession with an average of 32 minutes and 7 seconds. Looking at some of the individual stats, Jelani Eason was the leading rusher. He had 51 carries for 165 yards, 3.2 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns, long of 34, 55 yards per game. Caleb Johnson, 31 carries, 146 yards, 4.7 yards per rush, 2 touchdowns, a long of 50, and 48.6 yards per game. Darius Williams, 24 carries, 135 yards, 5.6 yards per carry, no touchdowns, 37 yards was his long, 45 yards per game. Darius Clayton, 1 carry for 9 yards, 9-yard average, 3 yards per game. Orlando Fernandez, 1 carry for 8 yards, 8-yard average, 2.6 yards per game. Kaya Moore, 2 carries for 3 yards, 1.5 yards per carry, 3 yards per game. And that's, you know, like I said, Valley did a very good job with running the ball. The last couple of years, they've had really good mobile quarterbacks. Jelani Eason is the guy now. Jerick Bryant was the quarterback the last couple of years. He was more of a runner than a passer. Eason is kind of similar. He came from Eastern Washington, so he's kind of getting his footing. They didn't, like I said, they didn't, you know, with a new quarterback, you know, that it's hard to break in a spring season. So Valley did have some opportunities that they probably could have been more successful in the fall, but they were unable to do so. Eason was 47 of 86 passing, 54.6%. 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, 356 yards, long of 32, 118.6 yards per game. Quincy Ivory, 2 of 2, 100%, 18 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. His long was 11 yards. He averaged 9 yards per game. Offensively, I expect Valley to improve. They made a new hire on their offensive staff. They have a new offensive coordinator, so that's definitely a situation that hopefully can improve this team, because they need something. You know, Kenton Evans was the former quarterback coach at UAPB. He's now the offensive coordinator at Valley. So it's a little bit late in the game to make that hire. Obviously, it's gonna be tough to come in and install or work with the system that he wants to run. So I expect them to kind of stick similar to what they've done in this previous season. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. Jarius Clayton was their leading receiver. He had 11 catches for 93 yards, 8.4 yards per catch, no touchdowns, longer 32, average 31 yards per game. Malik Myers, 7 catches for 77 yards, 11 yards per catch average, 1 touchdown, 23 yards was his long, 25.6 yards per game. Darius Williams, 7 catches, 72 yards, 10.2 yards per catch. His long was also 32, 24 yards per game. Ja'Cory Rankin, 11 catches, 49 yards, 4.4 yards per catch, 14 yards his long, 16.3 yards per game. Donald Johnson, four catches, 43 yards, 10.7 yards per catch. No touchdown, 17 yards long, 14.3 yards per game. Latavius Porter, two catches, 18 yards, 9 yards per catch, long of 13, 6 yards per game. Gregory Jean, one catch, 11 yards, 11-yard average, 11 yard per game. Caleb Johnson, five catches, 6 yards, 1.2 yards per catch, 4 yards was his long, 2 yards per game. And then Verondre White, one catch for 5 yards, 5-yard long, 2.5 yards per game. Defensively, Keontae Daniels, leading tackler with 24 tackles, William Morgan, 17, Deion Reed, 16, Eric Powell, 14, Jalen Bell, 13, Volmese Wanyea, 13, Caleb Brunson, 9, Jerry Garner, 9, Kyrie Lockley, 8, Kenneth Martin, 8, Devon Reed, 7, Jaron Fox, 5, DeMario Nichols, 5, and Williams with 5. Tackles for loss, Bell, 4, Garner, 3.5, Lockley, 3, Reed, 1.5, Powell, 1.5, Daniels, 1, Brunson, 1, Williams, 1, Latham, 1, Thomas, 1, and Howard had a half a tackle for loss. Valley had 19 tackles for loss on the season. They allowed 26. Sacks, Jared Garner was the leading sack man with 2. Bell, Lockley, Powell, and Thomas each had 1 apiece. Interceptions, Brunson had 2, and Latham had 1. Orlando Fernandez, 14 punts, 555 yards, 39.6 yard average. He had a long of 53. No punts went for touchbacks, no punts spare caught. He had 4 punts inside the 20 and 150 plus yard punt, no punts for block. Fernandez also did the kicking. He was 2 of 5 on field goals for 40%, 1 for 2 from 20 to 29 yards, 0 for 1 from 30 to 39 yards, 1 of 2 from 40 to 49 yards. His long was 46. On kickoffs, Fernandez had 10 kickoffs for 551 yards, an average of 55.1 yards per kick, 1 touchback, no field goals out of bounds, no kickoffs out of bounds, excuse me. Jarius Clayton, 8 punt returns for 59 yards, 7.3 yards per return, no touchdowns, long of 29. Kaius Lewis had 1 return for 9 yards, giving him a 9-yard average. Kickoff returns, Ja'Cory Rankin, 6 returns for 97 yards, 16.1 yard per return, had a long of 25. Darius Williams, 5 returns for 59 yards, 11.8 yards per return, long of 23. Kaya Moore, 2 returns for 39 yards, 19.5 yards per return, 20 yards of his long. Jarius Clayton had 1 return for 1 yard. The leading scorer on the season was Jelani Eason and Caleb Johnson. They both had 2 touchdowns, giving them 12 points. Orlando Fernandez, 2 field goals, 5 of 5 on extra points, giving him 11 points. And Malik Myers, 1 touchdown, giving him 6 points. So, you know, not a lot to take from this. Obviously, I say this a lot. Valley is a hard job to work at. So if you have any kind of success, then, you know, you've earned it. And this, you know, even though this was a shortened season, I thought Valley was competitive for for portions of each game. I thought they started off well against Jackson. You know, they had only, that was their first game of the year. By that point, Jackson had already played 2 games. So they really kind of didn't have enough of a footing to make anything happen. They were very competitive against Pine Bluff and probably should have won that game. Gave up a late punt return to lose that game. And then, as I said earlier, they were in the game against Alabama State before a failed fourth down conversion put them behind the 8-ball, and Alabama State was able to score about 2 or 3 more touchdowns after that fact. So I do expect Valley to be better in the fall. And like I said, we'll talk about that. I don't know how much better. But the spring, you know, obviously it's not a lot that you can take from this for any team. And when you only play three games and everybody else play four, five, six games, it's really hard to measure where you are. I think that this team is going to continue to grow in bits and pieces, but this is a rebuild and the rebuild continues. So we'll just have to keep our eyes on the Delta Devils and see what they have to offer in the future. So that's pretty much this episode. You can check out the social media pages, facebook.com/WackTalk, twitter.com/WackTalk76, instagram.com/WackTalk, and WackTalk76@gmail.com is the email address. Also, you can check out the YouTube page, Swag Talk Show, that can be found on YouTube. You can go ahead and subscribe to that. We're at 167 subscribers at this point. Go ahead and like the video, share them, and click that notification bell so you can be alerted to any content that I upload. I will be uploading a video today covering the same topic of Mississippi Valley. If you haven't checked out the page, the videos that I do are a little bit shorter than these podcasts. They're not as in-depth statistically, so it's a lot of more of my opinion and less numbers. So go ahead and check that out if you haven't already. If you have, man, continue to do so. I'd like to thank everybody for listening and thank everybody for the support. And that's going to do it for this show. We have, as I said, we have a YouTube video dropping today covering Mississippi Valley. We have another YouTube video coming on Wednesday covering the 2007 SWAC Championship game between Jackson State and Grambling in our SWAC Talk Time Machine episode. We have on Sunday, we'll have another podcast and video coming recapping the Prairie View Spring 2021 season. So there's a lot on the line, a lot ahead. Our fall 2021 previews will be coming in a couple weeks. So keep your eyes open for that. And with all that being said, man, I'm Charles Wells, your host. I'm signing out. Enjoy your Father's Day. And we'll see you guys on Wednesday on YouTube and Sunday on the podcast. We're out.